Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys.
Hello everyone.
How's everyone doing today? We hope you guys are having an awesome week. And now that it's the end of October and the weather is getting colder, I have a question for you guys. Have you given in and turned on your heat yet? I know it's a very hotly debated topic here in New England around the time of the year, and I always hear people talking about how they bundle up in homes because they're waiting to turn the heat on. And to me, that's completely bonkers. I flat out refuse to be uncomfortable in my own home, and actually my heat has been on for weeks already. Honestly, it's usually on before October 1st every year anyway. We may turn it down during the day, but it's up at night because it's cold. So let us know on our socials what your heat situation is and whether you have it turned on or not yet for the year. Today we're going to talk about bedtime routines, but before we actually get into the routine part, let's start off by talking about one of the things that kids do best. That's avoiding bedtime.
When the kids were little, it was definitely a struggle sometimes. One thing they did fairly often was the I'm not tired dance, every night like clockwork. The kids would insist they're not tired and launch into a series of activities to prove it. Things like dancing, doing push-ups, or suddenly remembering they have homework due in the morning, which is part of the I forgot list. That's when your child always seems to remember a new crucial detail, just as you're about to say goodnight. I need my science book, or I forgot to text my friend. Each night, the list grows longer and more elaborate.
It's true. And then there were the never-ending snack requests, and you parents out there know exactly what I'm talking about. Just as you're tucking them in, your child suddenly needs a snack. And it's not just any snack, but it's a very specific one, one that you might not even have in the house.
And then there's the elaborate goodnight ritual. The routine starts with a simple goodnight, but then spirals into an endless series of hugs, fist bumps, secret handshakes, and goodnight phrases that keep getting longer each night.
Yeah, and if it's not secret handshakes or hugs, they may be a member of the Bedtime Debate Club. That's when they suddenly become the world's best debater, arguing about why bedtime should be extended by 30 minutes or longer, using complex arguments and quote-unquote scientific evidence that they just invented on the spot.
With our youngest, Robin had to tell him a story about something that happened in her childhood, and then follow that with 6 or 7 songs, and then I had to tell him 5 jokes.
Yeah, we actually told him all the jokes on the internet. We ran out. We ended up having to buy a joke book off Amazon for the jokes. And for the songs, I could only remember a couple of childhood songs. Sure, I probably could have Googled it, but I remembered I've Been Working on the Railroad, I think London Bridges, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. But we would go through those songs and then he would still want more. So I would just bust into Christmas carols because I love Christmas music. We're team Christmas music starting November 1st. So I know a lot of the Christmas songs and he would hear Christmas carols every single night before bed. And I just wanted to mention that he knows everything about my childhood from age probably 5 to 12. I told him every story about every kooky thing I ever did, every experience I ever had, some of them more than once. I actually ran out of stories at one point, so I started making stuff up. But those were the days. And that reminds me that sometimes the kids would spend 15 minutes arranging everything on their beds just right before realizing that they need to go to the bathroom one last time. You know, like they'd spend time putting their pillows, blankets, and stuffed animals in just the right spot. Otherwise, God forbid, they'd never be able to fall asleep.
Then once we thought they were all tucked in and sleeping, we go to check on them only for them to pretend to be asleep. And then they start giggling when we try to leave.
Yep.
It turns into a game of seeing how many times they can trick us.
Yeah. And then we'd think that they were finally asleep, and then they'd hit us with the sneak attack. And what I mean by that is they would just suddenly appear in the living room or like our bedroom a few hours later with some random question or an urgent request that just couldn't wait until the morning. I can't even tell you guys how many times our now 17-year-old did that to us.
Yes, he used to come into our room all the time and tell us he couldn't sleep.
Yeah, and that was awesome because great. Now we can't sleep either.
Another thing our kids have done is right as about to go to bed, they suddenly remember a big project that's due at school in the morning. That's always fun. Especially if it's a project that they need a trifold board for or something that we don't have any in the house. Good times, those 10 p.m. Walmart trips.
Yeah, good times indeed. And those good times keep on rolling when it's bedtime and suddenly the kids hear mysterious footsteps somewhere in the house. My kids would insist that they heard strange noises or saw spooky shadows just when it's bedtime, which of course would lead to a nightly investigation, which would delay bedtime by another 10 or 15 minutes. And now that the kids are older, my boys are 17 and 20, I would like to add that they did actually hear footsteps. I hear them all the time, so it was real, but obviously we didn't tell them that when they were kids.
No comment.
Yeah, you know it's true.
And God forbid one of the kids see a bug. If I don't catch that bug and show it to them, I have to prepare to sleep in their room.
Yeah, thankfully now that they're older, they're better about bugs, but Nathan still with the flying bugs struggles to get those if they get into his room.
Now that our kids are grown or almost grown, so these aren't an issue for us anymore, but we do have new issues for the kids. Driving late at night, staying out with friends, working late. I can tell you, it's a never stop worrying about them.
Yeah, it never ends, you guys.
And the new issue we're having is that we're both having trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's our age or it's been a struggle for me.
Yeah, it's definitely been tough for me lately, for sure. And by lately, I mean the last 20 years or so. But establishing a bedtime routine that works for the whole family can be a game changer. And here are some things that work for us.
Yeah, set a consistent bedtime. Choose a bedtime that works for everyone, considering the ages and sleep needs for each family member. Consistency is the key for developing good sleep habits. For Robin and I, that time is 7:30 p.m.
Yep.
The kids tuck us in and go to bed God knows when.
Yeah, I don't even know how they survive on so little sleep. But anyway, so let's say about 30 to 60 minutes before bed, start winding down by dimming the lights, turning off screens, and engaging in quiet activities like reading, doing puzzles, or even listening to calming music. And this applies to both kids and adults, you guys. It definitely helps.
Even Marshmallow gets calming music during thunderstorms.
Oh, Marsh.
The next thing is to establish a predictable hygiene routine that includes brushing teeth, washing faces, and possibly a bath or shower for younger children. This signals to the body that it's time for sleep, and speaking from experience, it definitely helps when the kids were little.
Yeah.
We also do a countdown. We start at 1 hour, down to 30 minutes, and then 5 minutes right before bed.
Yeah, and if my sister, Tara, is listening right now, I'm sure she loved that we just mentioned the countdown. When the kids were little and we would all be at an event together, say like at my parents' house or whatever, we would always do a countdown with the kids, you know, like, hey, we're going to leave in 20 minutes. Hey, we're going to leave in 15 minutes, 10, 5, you get it. And she would make fun of us incessantly for doing the countdown with the kids, right? Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah. And now she's got her daughter, Brooklyn, who's almost 2. She'll be 2 next month. And she's going to have to start doing that countdown soon. She's going to see that the countdown works when the kids are little. And all that making fun of us was for nothing. I can't wait to hear her do the countdown. But anyway, so now let's talk about setting the perfect sleep environment. You want to make sure that your room is conducive to sleep, which is going to mean different things to different people. Maybe for you, it's adjusting room temperatures or setting up white noise machines. For me, it's making sure that my 2 fans are on high. Whatever works to help you get the best night's sleep.
I like a completely blacked out room. For kids, reading a short story or listening to a calming podcast or audiobook may help them settle down and get ready for sleep.
Did you say audiobook?
Book. For adults, maybe try a guided meditation or reading something light and non-stimulating. Robin likes to read one of my accounting books before she goes to sleep.
Yeah, it works like a charm. And also, make sure you avoid caffeine during the second half of the day. And that would include coffee, tea, soda, and I'm sad to say, chocolate. But if you know caffeine will keep you awake until all hours of the night, try to keep your caffeine consumption to the morning hours. My sister actually can't even drink caffeine during the week, like at all, because it keeps her up until all hours of the night, so she only drinks caffeine on Saturdays.
Next, be sure not to fall victim to the one more episode syndrome. You know, that's when you sit down to watch one episode of a show and finding yourself in a marathon session as the hours tick by, convinced you only watch one more. Stay tuned for one of our later podcasts where we will talk about a marathon session.
Yeah, we're actually going to do a podcast of our top 10 favorite binge-worthy shows. There have been so many times where we're so tired and we're dying on the couch, but we're like, oh my God, we need to see what happens next. So we end up watching the next episode and it keeps us up past our 7:30 bedtime.
It's addicting.
It is. But anyway, moving on. So this next one is a tough one and I totally get it, you guys. But try to stick to the lights out time and avoid screen use in bed. And yeah, I know I'm not really able to do that one either, but try. Oh, and then comes the overanalyzing. Like for me, I'll find myself lying in bed and overthinking every little detail of my day or playing out hypothetical scenarios or even reliving every mistake I've ever made for my entire life, which turns what should be a calm bedtime into complete chaos.
Also, remember, as kids grow older and schedules change, you may need to revisit and adjust the routine as needed to keep it effective and stress-free.
Yep. So in conclusion, a bedtime routine is more than just a series of nightly rituals. It's a vital component of well-being for both children and adults. A well-crafted bedtime routine not only enhances sleep quality, but it also supports mental, cognitive, and physical health. Plus, establishing a consistent bedtime routine will make your mornings easier.
I'm tired just talking about bedtime.
Yeah, I'm always tired.
Well, thank you for listening. And next week, we're going to be doing some Halloween trivia and fun facts.
Yes, Halloween is my favorite holiday, so we have some fun stuff coming up next week. As always, if you have questions, suggestions, feedback, hate mail, whatever, feel free to shoot us an email at thegenxpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at thegenxcouple.
And until then, see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.